Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. Today we have a professional speaker. We don't have professional speakers on very often, mostly because I haven't found a topic that I've heard professional speakers speak about that really resonates with me. But Jeff Tippett today, he really resonated with me. When I'm doing my due diligence for these podcasts, I was watching his videos, I'm on his website, and we're going to talk about something that we've talked about a lot on Top Advisor Marketing. And it really has to do with communication, especially persuasive communication. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity to be here. I feel especially honored now that I know you don't have a lot of professional speakers on. So thank you for this.
Yeah. And I'm so excited to even just begin the story. So we're going to start from the beginning of the story that you tell when you're up on stage to illustrate or to at least begin this connection process that you have with your audience. So would you mind talking about this Haiti adoption, please?
Absolutely. So for me, I will disclose that adopting a baby was never a dream of mine. It was never a goal of mine. In fact, it had never even crossed my mind. So the situation that came to me wasn't one that I had been looking for. It wasn't one that I had been seeking out. It literally just appeared in front of me. My father had gone overseas to do some humanitarian work in the country of Haiti. And during his time there, the translator that he worked with was a ninth grader, Haitian girl, was in an English-speaking American school. And she was very fortunate to be in that school to have her tuition covered. And she happened to get pregnant. And she was given the option, either give up your baby or drop out of school. And so she made the very gut-wrenching decision that she wanted to give up her child, give up her newborn daughter. So when my father told me about the story, I just instantly connected. He showed me a picture. I looked into her eyes, and just something was there. I knew internally that I was to adopt this baby. It was not an easy task. I had never had a gun held at my head. So imagine what that's like. What would you do if you're there in a foreign country and a gun is held at your head? I had never had a machete held at my neck. I never had to flee a city for safety. So I went through a lot. But probably the biggest change was that what I learned internally about myself. See, I was great at getting things done. I could have a checklist. I could work my way through it without any problem. But what I discovered was it didn't work that way in Haiti, because actually what I was doing was manipulating others. I was trying to make them do what I wanted them to do for my good. And through several experiences, I began to see that this isn't going to work for me. So this was the beginning of the change to understand exactly what persuasive communication is all about, because honestly, they didn't care about me. They didn't care about what I was trying to accomplish. That didn't register with them at all. So this was the beginning process for me to understand what communication is all about when you're trying to persuade others.
Now, you just used two words that I feel, and I think our listeners might be kind of knocking around in their head. Jeff, what is the difference between being manipulative and being persuasive?
I think it's a fair question. When I go on stage, and it's one of the things that people often push back on is like, Jeff, you know, you're just teaching people how to manipulate. And we've been trained, like if we've gone through sales training, oftentimes we've been taught techniques, we've been taught phrases to use that are destined, they're determined, they're figured out there to help you manipulate other people. So let's break it apart and let's talk about the two different words. So the word manipulate means to control or to influence a person or a situation, but to do it cleverly and to do it unfairly. Basically, you are exploiting other people, and we do that for our own good. Now, admittedly, if you're good at sales, you can probably manipulate someone and get a deal closed. But here's one of the things we know. customer acquisition is one of the most expensive costs that a company has. And though you may be able to manipulate and close one deal, you're likely not going to build a lifelong, sustainable relationship with that client. And the next time you call on them, the door is probably going to close. So let's contrast that then with persuasion. So persuasion means this. It means to call someone to do something through reasoning or argument. And the word argument here is the original sense of the word, not what we see in our political discourse today. It is to cause someone to do something through argument, meaning we share our beliefs, we share our thoughts one with another. And then over time, right, through sustained effort, we come to the same place. Now, sometimes that means that I'm changing a little bit. Sometimes it means that they're changing a little bit. But what it always means is that I have listened to that other person. I know what their need is. And it typically falls into a bucket of health, wealth, or relationships. What is the need that they have? And what solution do I bring to the table? And then I look for two magical words when I finish any conversation with people, if I'm closing a deal, signing a contract, or whatever I'm doing. I look for two magical words. And these magical words will tell me if I manipulated or I persuaded. And those two words are, that's right. So when I finish and they look at me and they say, Jeff, yeah, that's right. We do need to do this. Yes, this is going to fix the problem. Yes, this is the way to move forward. Yes, you have the right solution for me. I know at that point, I didn't manipulate. I persuaded. I'm providing value to them. And they are just as excited as I am. And who wouldn't want that?
I'm thinking back to how many times when I'm in a sales opportunity that I hear that. What is the flip side of that, though? If you were manipulative, what are you hearing at the end to slap you around to say, dude, you didn't handle that right?
Well, sometimes those smaller deals, people may even, sign off on them. They may be okay just to shut me down to get things over with. You can look at their face. You can tell if a person is doing something because they really want it. They believe it's best for them. Mm-hmm. And then, working on deals and things like this, if we are focused on the other person and we are providing value to them, if we are solving a problem that they already have and we just find a way to come to common ground on that, then they're happy with us. They're pleased with us. They're smiling. Their eyes are lit up.
Hmm. That's fantastic. I love the other focused. I love thinking about intention when you're going through there, because that's the main difference, right? Intention between manipulation and persuasion. Are you attempting to make them do something they don't really want to do? Or are you persuading them to do something that's going to be truly good for them? I absolutely love that. I need to rewind something. You said something at the beginning of the podcast, Jeff, that I haven't been able to knock out of my brain, which is, so you're in Haiti for an adoption. Why were people pointing guns at you?
Great question. So when I was there, I was at a time of civil unrest. The bureaucracy was falling apart. Aristide was the president. The government was collapsing. I didn't know any of this starting into this process. I was really not aware of exactly what all was happening in Haiti. And there were groups that were trying to run Aristide out of office. And the whole country was in disarray. The students would create what they call manifestations, which was these going, they'd take these tires, they would burn the tires, they would block off roads so people couldn't get out of the city, and they would come through and they would riot. And it was this part of the civil unrest as they were fighting whether Aristide should stay or Aristide should go. And unfortunately, during the timing of this, I got caught right in the middle of it.
So you had talked about near-death experiences. I mean, how many near-death experiences did you have? How long were you there? Maybe I need to back up even farther. How long did this process take? Help me with that.
Yeah, so this was, looking back and after it was over, it was a relatively short period. I completed this adoption in 6.5 months. An adoption in 6.5 months to start with is great. An international adoption in 6.5 months is amazing. And it's kind of unheard of given what was going on with the government. When I heard the story of this daughter, within the first 30 days, I flew over. I took food. I took money to her. I met the family. I got to hang out, to bond with everyone. And then about every 2 weeks, I would go back over to help keep the process moving. I did have a very sustained period when I was in Haiti, because we reached a point when there was a document that needed to be signed by a particular branch of the Haitian government. and the office was shut down. And my attorney emailed me and said, look, Jeff, it's shut down. I don't know if it's going to open, when it's going to open, if it's ever going to open. So I think for now it's probably best for us to consider at best that your adoption is on hold, but it may be terminated. We may not be able to complete this adoption. And it was heartbreaking. I had already fallen in love with this little girl. So I was like, you know what? Great. I'm going to fly over. So I did. Within a couple of days, I had a ticket. I flew over. I stayed with my attorney. And every morning I would get up and I would go to this office and I would sit outside just waiting and hoping someone would show up. And at the end of the day, I went home disappointed. But the next morning, the sun would come up and I'd get back and I'd go right back there. And that continued for a couple of weeks, every single day, until finally someone came and to the office. And I began to tell the story. And this was one of the times that I really could look inside of myself and see the manipulation that I was used to doing to get my way and to make things happen as I started telling the story. And it was all focused on me and me wanting to get this adopt this baby, me wanting to help me. All was about me. And it was going nowhere. The conversation wasn't going anywhere. One of the things I had learned about Haitians was that they love their babies. They love family. They love people. So when I turned this around and took it off of me and told the story of this little girl whose mother at this point had abandoned her, she was in an orphanage, she was extremely sick, and that I had medical care ready for her in the States and that she could have a much better life. She could get the care that she needed and she could get love and financial support and all that she needs for a successful life. When I turned that conversation that way, the person that I was working with, the face changed, everything changed. And with a few minutes, the document was signed and I was out the door.
Now, this might seem like a strange switch to our listeners, but after I explain, maybe not. Jeff, what you just did there was you gave a very clear and succinct call to action, right? It was an other focused call to action. In your speeches, in working with you, that's something you help people with. Would you mind talking about that process of that call to action and how you help people uncover a powerful call to action so that they can be persuasive and help people?
Yeah, and to make sure that we're on the same place and starting this conversation. So a call to action, that's when we are going to someone else and we're at that point, we're making our ask. And this could happen on a landing page. It could happen in an email piece. It could happen in print as well. It could happen on the phone. It could happen face to face. What we're doing here is we're actually making the ask to the other person. So I do try to make sure that working with clients that we do stay focused on the why. Again, thinking back to what problem is it that we're solving? Because if we focus on the problem that we solve, not the sales features, but if we focus on the problem that we solve, it's a great way to get people to at least then to begin opening up to taking and moving along to where we want them to go. But a few tips here. First of all, it's like I encourage people to make sure that their ask is clear. We have probably all been on phone calls and gotten off, or maybe read an email and thought, I don't even know exactly what they were asking of me. What are they wanting from me? Are they wanting me to show up? What do they want from me? So first of all, just pause and look back and make sure that your ask is clear, that it's clearly stating what it is that you want them to do. And make sure that you tell them, all the pieces of that, what they should do, when they should do it, and why they should do it, focusing on the benefit. I also encourage people to focus on a really strong action verb in their call to action. And again, this is not specific to any particular type of platform. Another tip, the third one here, is to make sure that you make it personal. Sometimes we make it about us, kind of like in the story that I just told you. We use words such as I or me. It's best to turn that around and making it personal using words like you and your. What does that do? It helps that user then understand that your focus is on them and the solution that you can bring to the table for them. So focusing on the words like you and your. Another one is to communicate value. What is the value proposition that you're bringing to the table for this person? And again, how does it fit into one of the buckets of health, wealth, or relationships? What's the value that the person is receiving? And that's extremely important, even if you're just doing a landing page and you're trying to capture email addresses. You may think, oh, it's just an email address. But the person looking at it is thinking, this is something very personal that I'm giving up, is my email address. So what value? I encourage people to be clever. as well. Mm. Like, we are bombarded by marketing messages all the time. So how can you do it a little differently? How can you be a little clever without being cheesy, of course? But how can you be clever in it? Emotion. How do you bring emotion into a call to action as well? And we know that emotion moves people as well. Sense of urgency, of course, is another great one. Sometimes we use countdown clocks, creating sense of urgency. And how about this one? Like, sometimes people come to me and like, they've got all types of things that they're asking people to do. I encourage people to like focus on a singular call to action, because when you ask me to do three or four things, I'm probably not going to do any of them. Mm-hmm. My kids laugh at me because they text me and they'll put three or four questions into a text. And guess what they're going to get? They're going to get the answer to one of those questions. And that's all they're going to get. So they laugh at me. So they go, they take me succinctly through this. So realizing that you may have multiple things that you want people to do, but how do you create a funnel, or how do you create a path and ask them to take the first thing that they need to do to get this started, and then continue them down on a journey, making sure that we use strong, precise, punchy language as well. Think about this. Like, say, you could say you are invited, or you could say reserve your seat now. You could say click here, or you could say tell me more. You could say submit, or you could say see my results. So using punchy language is extremely strong there. Another one, reducing risk. Like, when we look at these and we're processing what it is you're asking me to do, I'm thinking through what this is going to cost me. What is my risk in doing this? If you as the person initiating, think through all those. Figure out how can you help them? What can you alleviate? Can you give them free 2 weeks? Can you give them free 30 days? Money back in 3 days? What does that look like? A couple last things, scarcity. We always want what we can't have. Power of a crowd. Think about that social pressure that you can add. And the last one I would put out there is make it easy. If you make it complicated, you're going to lose them. Keep it extremely easy.
There's a lot in what you just said. Where can they get that stuff from you? I mean, do you have... you have a book that's coming out in January, but you also have another book that's out right now. Would you mind sharing a little bit of how people can learn this from you, whether that's to hire you? Help us with that. And then I have two other pretty high level questions for you.
Fantastic. Welcome to check out my website, jefftippett.com. This is actually, in talking about the call to action, that's a chapter. I've dedicated a full chapter in how you craft a call to action. So that'll be my new book that comes out January 1st, my publisher still says we're on track and we'll have that book out. But I do have a full chapter with explanations and examples of how to do this.
Fantastic. Now, when we were warming up for the show and I was getting to know you a little bit better, one of the things that you thought was very important is to help your audience or your clients become an industry expert. That's huge for us in financial services. And in fact, that's something that we try to do with our podcasting and social media services, to get you out there to look like that industry expert. What do you do? How do you help people with that?
Yeah, it is. And like, this is magic. When you are the industry expert, people have already gone through the know, like, trust. And we know before a person makes a decision, they have to go through that. They've already gone through that. If you're the industry expert, and sometimes, you know, people are a little afraid, they're concerned about putting themselves out there as an expert. But I always think that you have knowledge that other people don't have. There's something that you have. Maybe others know it, but generally the people that you're reaching out to, you have knowledge that that they do not have, right? So figure out, you know, what it is, what's your area specialty. So how do you get there? I like to just sit down and chart out your skills. What are you really good at? What expertise do you have? What are you good at doing? What do you love to do? What are your top three strengths, right? Figuring this out, coming down with your strengths. And then the second part of that then is to figure out you. What is your unique selling point, or what is your onlyness? And by that, I'm talking about something that defines only you. What is it that's unique about you? The space that you occupy that no one else occupies, that unique viewpoint. It might be your accumulated experience, your perspective, your vision on things. It doesn't have to be exactly perfected, but making sure that you figure out what's special and what's different about you. Because if people are looking at your materials, you can be guaranteed they're probably looking at two or three other financial planners as well. So what is it that's special about you? And then, of course, begin to find your audience. Like, Who is it that you're trying to reach? And that's one of the beauties of our online work today. It makes it so much easier to go find our audience. And then from that, of course, we start crafting content. We deliver content. We make sure that our audience gets that content. And over time, you know, you're then viewed as the expert. You know, for me, one of the funnest things for me is when people bring me up on stage and they refer to me as Mr. Persuasion. Well, that didn't happen overnight. This has happened from years of putting the material out there and talking about how I occupy this space. Being an industry expert is one of the best things that you can do to jumpstart your business. And it does take time. Give it time to ramp up. But be consistent with that message. Like, don't go off. Whatever it is, stay consistent to that message, stay true, and continue to push the information out there.
Jeff, when we were preparing for the podcast, one of the things that you said in your speeches that is an eye-opening aspect, and not like all of this isn't wonderfully eye-opening, very persuasive, very influential, and such good information for our audience. You talked about the greater good. Now, this is a 100-and-something podcast that we've done at Top Advisor Marketing. I have never had anybody who's brought up the philosophical principle of the greater good. Could you share that?
Absolutely. So 6.5 months, the adoption was completed. I had bonded with this new girl. I'd gone through ups and downs, and I find myself back on U.S. soil, and I'm standing in the airport in Miami, Florida. And I'm holding her. At this point, she's whimpering. We found out later she had a double ear infection as well as some other viruses that were in her body. So the cabin pressure was just killing her ears. And that's why she screamed the whole flight to Miami. And I'm sitting there holding her, and I am feeling accomplished. For a few minutes there, I'm looking at her, and I think, hey, I did this. You know, it's done. She's here. She's in my arms. I'm excited. But within a few moments, that just blew out the window. And I looked down at her face, as she whimpered, looking back up at me. And I began to wonder, what is her life going to be like? Would she be a doctor and heal the sick? Would she be a humanitarian and relieve suffering? Would she become a teacher and impact hundreds of kids that then could impact thousands of lives beyond that? Would she become a nurse? Would she go back to Haiti? And while I couldn't answer any of those questions, what I did know was that this was not complete. This was not the final standing here on U.S. soil. This was just the beginning. We probably all tossed a pebble into water, right? And what happens is it just ripples, and it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. And while I had no idea what she would become and what she would do with her life, I did know that at that moment, I tossed a pebble in the water. And there were going to be rings that would continue to go out. She was going to impact lives, people that I wouldn't even know, in ways that I wouldn't even know about, that's going to live beyond me. And sometimes I realize that life can weigh us down. We can get tired if we have kids, if we're working hard, all the things that hit us in life. It's really easy to get focused when I've got to take this call, I've got to go do this email, I've got to go to this meeting, I've got this coffee appointment, I've got this evening appointment, and to get focused on all those transactional elements that suck up our time every single day. But I encourage people to pull back and to think about the greater good, to think about what's going to happen. So if we're helping them with finances, how does that change their lives? How does that change their children's lives when we help them prepare for the future? We have no idea what all that looks like, but this is what I can guarantee you, is that when we do what we're supposed to do, in my case, it was to adopt a baby, we toss a pebble in, there will be ripple effects, and you will impact lives beyond yourself for the greater good.
How old is your daughter now?
My daughter is now 15. She is a sophomore in high school. She has her permit. She is a dancer. She also runs track. I call her Teflon because stuff hits her, as happens to a lot of teenagers. She processes it and it rolls right off. She is constantly in that state of happiness. This summer, she went and landed her first job on her own, Wow. All by herself. Proud of her.
Well, I'm sure some of what you do has rubbed off on her over these last 15 years. So
perhaps. hopefully some of the good and not the bad, right? I'll admit I'm not the perfect one, but hey, hopefully some of the good.
That's awesome. All right, Jeff, let's remind everybody how they can get in touch with you, please.
Absolutely. One of the simplest ways is just to take your phone out and text the word persuade to 66866. And what will happen is not only will you get connected with me, you'll immediately get access to a free chapter from my upcoming book. It'll give you a chance to read a little bit about messaging and how to craft message.
All right. Can you say that one more time? The text
sure.
number?
The word is persuade and text it to 66866.
And we will make sure, Jeff, that and jefftippett.com is in our show notes here. Jeff, thank you very, very much. It's absolutely magnificent. I love your story. I love your message. I'd love to have you back. We'll get you back on the show and talk a little bit more, maybe take this to another level, especially after your new book comes out in January. That'd be super awesome. Are you okay with that?
Oh, I would be honored. I would love to do that.
Fantastic. Well, Jeff, again, thank you, thank you, thank you very much, and we'll get you back on the show soon.
Thank you.
If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, I can't believe you haven't, but dear God, subscribe to the podcast now and share this podcast. There is so much in under 30 minutes that Jeff just covered here that isn't just great for you as a financial services professional, but it's great for you from a marketing perspective and a life perspective. You know, this is the sort of stuff that we try to do at Top Advisor Marketing, is to try to bring you guests that are not only going to help you be a better business person, but overall a better person, whether that saves you time, clear, makes your message even clearer, or helps you have a different perspective on what's truly important to you. That's what we're trying to do here. And if you do know anybody who would love to hear this story, please make sure you share that. For Jeff Tippett and for everybody at Top Advisor Marketing, we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.